Hello, this is Maylin Gonzalez from the Stanford Alumni Association. I'd like to welcome our listeners to our second book of the 2015-2016 Books Launch season, A Woman Without a Country by Evan Boland. Today I'm sitting down with Greg Wren, the Jones Lecturer in the Creative Writing Program, who selected this book for our community. Thanks so much for joining me, Greg.
It's my pleasure.
Greg Wren is a native of Northeast Florida and a graduate of Harvard University and Washington University in St. Louis. His first book of poems, Centaur, was awarded the 2013 Brittingham Prize in Poetry. Greg is a former Wallace Stegner Fellow and a recipient of the Lyric Poetry Award from the Poetry Society of America. At Stanford since 2010, he teaches creative expression and writing, poetry writing at all levels, and creative nonfiction. So I'm just going to dive into some of our questions for Book Salon.
Sure.
Why did you select A Woman Without a Country?
Well, I selected it because it's a marvelous book of poetry, poems that are lucid, timely, and poignant. It was Wallace Stevens who said of poetry, it must give pleasure. And part of the pleasure of reading the poems in Boland's latest book is its exquisite language. She says of the crab apple, it is seeking a sky of inferences to constellate with, the rosiness of a larger fruit, the hint of a sea creature sidling in another element. Dawn is described as a squeak of light, ocean air looking to come inland to test its influence on the salty farms waking. Anne Boland envisions her Irish grandfather at sea, where he ended up dying. When he looked over the ship's rail at midnight, into his ocean garden, all he saw was oxygen unfrocking phosphorus, lacing the sea with greens. The ah sound repeated three times, oxygen unfrocking phosphorus, followed by the long e sound in the following line, is delicious. But really, it's consolation on the level of sound for this elegy, which mourns the loss of her grandfather. The speaker in this poem asks, what did he leave me, my grandfather? And she soon answers, he built nothing I could live in. That is a personal and a political question and answer. More pleasure is to be had, at least for me, in kind of feeling the alienation and homesickness and seeing this kind of cultural grief reflected back. As the dedication to her title sequence, A Woman Without a Country, Boland writes lines that continually haunt me, a gay dude from the American South. She writes, this sequence is dedicated to those who lost a country, not by history or inheritance, but through a series of questions to which they could find no answer. It's just a lovely, lovely sentence, very powerful. And there's just something strangely consoling about reading these poems in her title sequence, listening to her searching meditations on what it means to be a woman who unapologetically calls herself both Irish and poet. Boland told the Stanford News Service, this is what she said, something very important, national identity is complicated by many things, mainly, I think, by who has access to it and who doesn't. I've often said this, but I do believe there is a real difference between history and the past. History is an official version in which people's names are written. The past, on the other hand, is a place of whispers and gestures and names that are often not recognized, and identities that will not be remembered, lives that are hidden. I think many women in different societies think of themselves as living in the past rather than in history. It's because of that, and because of my own family history, that this sequence of poems came about. So, in other words, at least in my view, these poems are about a homesickness felt at home. A homesickness felt at home. That's kind of the emotional, I think that's at the emotional core of these poems. And that's why I love them so much. You know, in this case, it's Boland longing for an Irish history that includes real women, including her grandmother, in their full humanity, with their ordinary but remarkable experiences as mothers, grandmothers, daughters, citizens, and visionaries, and artists. It is a dream that has not come to fruition yet, and so many of these poems sound at once somber and resilient, whether she's speaking to her daughter late at night are noticing that the last cobbler in town has closed up shop forever. So it's a remarkable book.
And will you talk a little bit about your favorite poem in the book and tell us why you chose that?
Sure. My favorite poem actually is the title poem from the title sequence. So it's a poem called A Woman Without a Country. It was published a couple years ago in Poetry Magazine. And I'm going to read this poem, and is that all right?
Yes.
Okay. Definitely. Thought I might read it. It's rather short, but it's very powerful. A Woman Without a Country by Evan Boland. As dawn breaks, he enters a room with the odor of acid. He lays the copper plate on the table and reaches for the shaft of the burin. Dublin wakes to horses and rain. Street hawkers call. All the news is famine and famine. The flat engraver, the round graver, the angled tint tool wait for him. He bends to his work and begins. He starts with the head, cutting into the line of the cheek, finding the slope of the skull, incising the shape of a face that becomes a foundry of shadows, rendering, with a deeper cut into copper, the whole woman as a skeleton, the rags of her skirt, her wrist in a bony line forever, severing her body from its native air until she is ready for the page, for the street vendor, for a new inventory which now, to loss and to laissez-faire, adds the odor of acid and the little pitiless tragedy of being imagined. He puts his tools away, one by one, lays them out carefully on the deal table, his work done. And just a short kind of interpretation of this, but you know, so in this poem, the engraver is making an engraving of an Irish woman who's starving during the Great Famine. And instead of creating a sort of three-dimensional kind of realistic likeness of her, it sounds as if he's committing violence against her, as if he's harming her or performing some sort of macabre surgery on her. The poem then, I mean, it's a great example of the power of showing rather than telling. So what's being expressed here really in kind of in a non-polemical way is the harm inherent in turning a woman into an emblem, a stereotype, at the expense of her full humanity. How many centuries has Ireland been personified as a beggar woman, as in Kathleen Houlihan? You know, whatever explicit rage Boland feels has been transmuted into the keenest attention to line and to image. So, you know, we have to remember that Boland is a very courageous person. She was the first major Irish woman poet, first ever. She took on the male literary establishment in Ireland to really carve out a space for women in poetry. And that took an enormous amount of bravery, and the poems in this book continue to resonate with that bravery.
And you've already mentioned some of the issues that we'll encounter in this book of poems. What other issues do you think our readers might find interesting to discuss?
So just a few. I mean, first off, I'd say, you know, what does it mean to be a citizen of a country but not to feel that citizenship, right? So to have the passport but not to really feel on a visceral, deep, spiritual level that you are part of a nation, you know. And I would ask the listeners, some of our listeners might be poets, you know, have you ever written poems that consider Boland's distinction between the history and the past? And, to what extent do you see yourselves reflected back in these poems? Another question I might ask our readers as they ponder this important book is, you know, to what extent do poets and all artists have a responsibility to meditate on social injustices? Another might be, to what extent is the idea of the personal is political embodied in A Woman Without a Country? And then to all our mothers out there, several of Boland's poems in the book depict motherhood. And one of her most famous poems, The Pomegranate, is a poem between a mother and a daughter. you know, but a question I have is, why haven't more poems been written in English about the experience of raising children? So these are all things to think about, I think, as our alumni enjoy this feast of poems.
Great. Thank you so much for sitting down to introduce Book Salon to A Woman Without a Country.
My pleasure. Thank you.